ScienceTAGino/HistoryStudentSid. A Sid Gino headcanon by Small and Tall on Tumblr, adapted and read by Momotastic. Image. Yevgeny Malkin, dressed in a lab naughty suit, sits at a desk and looks through a microscope.
Appears to me the graph has come and stolen all the laughs. It appears to me the pen is overanalyzed again. And if I am a number, I'm infinity plus one. And if you are five words, you are afraid to be the one. And if you are a number, you're infinity plus one. And if I am four words, then I am needing of your love. Oh, I could tear me up. You can't pick me up.
The second these photos came out, we were like, it's time! So here we go! Imagine a universe in which Sid and Gino are separated by a few more years, but not enough for it to be weird, and Sid is a history major slash gym addict. We just can't picture him without the lower body. Who has put off his science requirements for his degree until the very last possible time to do them. So there he is, 21-22, with a bunch of 18-year-old freshmen in first-year chem, looking mildly confused 3 times a week in lecture, with his biceps threatening to burst through his intramural hockey tees, carefully seated 2/3 of the way up the lecture hall for maximum anonymity. Sid does not like science very much. At least, not advanced science. He has no need for it beyond understanding the theory and the basics. He has no burning need to know the world's innermost workings, and he thinks stoichiometry should go die in a fire. But he's also not going to let his GPA suffer because of his stupid class. He has a hard time focusing because he has so many other more important things he could be doing with his time, so he gets lost easily and feels like he's floundering, and it's ridiculous and embarrassing. So, like a good and diligent student, he goes to the TA office hours with his last quiz, bracing himself for an hour with some bored grad school chem major to try and get a handle on the last module before it's too far into the semester to catch up, and immediately has to squint at the name Yevgeny Malkin on the door. He's not even sure how to pronounce that. Evgeny? Evgeny? Vechini? He knows enough to parse out that it's Russian, and he immediately flashes to a nerdy Russian stereotype playing chess in his office behind thick glasses and a really tragic knit sweater. Sid is prepared to have the worst time with a hardcore nerd who probably thinks a BA jock like Sid shouldn't even be in his class, let alone the fact Sid doesn't want to be there and doesn't get it and really doesn't care. Gino doesn't make much better of a first impression, but to be fair, first, the smell in his office is vinegary from the eco-friendly cleaning solution that he used to clean up an unfortunate sour cream incident in his small ancient TA office microwave. And it's also a little like BO because, well, because he smells like BO because he hasn't been home for more than 20 minutes in weeks working on a breakthrough in his thesis. And let's be fair, all the tiny shitty basements TAs get shoved into smell a little funky. He can't be blamed. Second, regarding the point of hasn't been home in weeks, his clothes are thoroughly dirty. We're talking food stains, ink stains, lab stains of who knows what that soaked through his lab coat and smeared on his shirt cuffs. Also, the clothes he's wearing are his warmest and most comfortable. Oversized university sweatshirt. He's so cold always. Beanie. Covering up greasy hair. His glasses, because he hasn't had time to order new contacts, extra cardigan over the back of his chair for when it gets particularly drafty after dark. Third, there are a lot of mugs and cups and takeout containers where there aren't stacks of papers upon textbooks. Listen, office hours are boring, and any time he can get for his thesis is welcome. Cleaning isn't high on his list of things to do currently. So, anyway, imagine Gino highly sleep-deprived. Who needs sleep when you have chemistry? and probably lacking a nutritionally balanced meal, and hopped up on caffeine, looking up at the knock to his door and seeing the most beautiful man possibly ever standing in the doorway. He looks wary and faintly disgusted, but he also looks like he smells good, and his hair is a little damp, like he'd just come from the gym or something. Gino legitimately thinks he's starting to hallucinate beautiful men, but then Sid opens his mouth and Gino recoils because no cute angels actually sound like that, so he must be a student. And then Sid's asking about his quiz, and he's so determined and bright, but clearly hating Cam and just trying to, like, strong-arm it into obeying him. And you know what? This Gino legitimately loves chemistry. The way it underpins all of nature and all of biology. The way you can add one thing to another and get something totally surprising seemingly out of nowhere. The way equations balance out so beautifully when you get them right. The way it's a whole language that makes perfect and total sense, unlike the confusing jumble of English he's been putting up with since he moved here for school. He does want to help students learn to understand it, to love it like he does, ideally. Gino probably pulls the test closer for a look and faintly remembers Sid seeing him up close. In class, he'd never looked like much, usually wearing a ball cap that capped his beautiful face in shadow, and from 40 feet away in an auditorium, he looked like every other university freshman. Not this stacked slice of yum. On second thought, judging by the quality of his internal monologue, Gino is starting to think maybe he really does need to get some sleep. Looking at the quiz is a little painful in some places, though. Gino points out that Sid's not dumb, but he's careless with his work. This inattentiveness kills you in lab. I don't like science, I don't particularly want to be here, but I need this requirement and I'm not going to fly by with a C and let it tank my GPA. So, we're going over every single one of these quiz questions.
You got most right though.
Still, I could hear a repeat of the concepts, cramming doesn't help anyone. So Sid sits gingerly in the moth-eaten chair in the cramped office while Gino, greasy, owlish with lack of sleep, a little too enthusiastic, tries to impress upon him the beauty of chemistry, and Sid tries to dedicate himself to remembering anything at all, while his brain keeps reflexively blanking out every time Gino mentions equilibriums. He's doing better one-on-one, but he knew that. He always did better with a focused point for his attention. Anyway, so Sid walks out thinking the TA is like kind of a Russian science gremlin nerd, who chats on forums and has never eaten anything other than Cheetos, judging by the contents of the wastebasket by the door. Probably thinking someone who wears as much athleisure wear and is as jacked as Sid, not to mention was only 70% successful in hiding his general disdain for the glory of Stoic, is kind of a meathead. But Sid learned some things, and Gino's a patient, if slightly judgy teacher, and Gino knows not everyone can truly understand his love of Cam, so they both come out with not 100% accurate impressions of each other, but with a kind of alliance? An understanding? The usual academic relationship you might have with a TA. They're both students, the difference being one gives a shit about the topic and grades the other one's work. Sid checks in a couple more times with questions, and Gino clears up some desk space to help out if he can. So then, the semester ends, Sid passes Cam, Gino gives him a high five when he hands back his final exam, which has a sticker of a cat with pom-poms saying perfect on it. Gino loves weird animal stickers. Gino is the weirdest person Sid has ever met, maybe. The next time, Gino sees Sid is in the library of all places. Gino would have never thought Sid would be caught dead in a uni library. Like, that doesn't actually make sense the more he thinks about it, but it's true, he thought maybe Sid's intensity about his GPA was sport team related. But here he is, stationed at a carrel that is just covered in organized stacks of books, meticulous notes, color-coded even. Sid is hyper-focused on what he's doing, flipping through a book with one hand and jotting down notes with the other. Gino, oh shit, I'm getting a competence boner. Sid is really smart, oh no, he's so organized and dedicated, look at all the tabs in the textbook. He's beautiful and brilliant, rip G. So then Gino kind of low-key follows Sid's academic career. See/stalk/stares in the library if he has occasions to be there. Sid is there so often, oh no! immediately ducking between a couple of shelves whenever Sid looks up or sketches. He finds too many reasons to hang out in the Russian history section, probably bothering Ovi, who is actually taking history courses and has a reason to be there, and actually knows Sid, much to his disgust with Zhenya, when he finds out what's happening. Why not a good Russian history undergrad, Zhenya? Gino has studying to do. The library is an ideal place to study. What's that you say? The whole catalog is even easier to navigate digitally? Shush you! The next time Sid sees Gino after the semester ends is in the biggest campus gym. One time he was running on the track for a cooldown and saw Gino swimming in the lane pool below through the windows. Initially, Sid was like, good for him, he doesn't go outside enough, little Russian potted plant / Cheeto gremlin. And then Gino grabs hold of the side of the pool and lifts himself out, and Sid almost runs off the track, stumbling hard. Gino doesn't have the soft and furry pale body that Sid was expecting. He's all clean angles with an even tan and the shoulder-to-waist ratio of a Dorito. He looks insanely long and lean, just legs for days. Sid tries to recollect if he'd ever seen Gino standing before and honestly can't remember. But watching him wiping the water out of his eyes and walk over to joke in love with the lifeguard on her stand, he has to be over 6 feet easily. He just looked so small, hunched in his little office in his sweaters. His face is so angular without the glasses. So then, Sid kind of gets just as creepy as G is in the library, and figures out when Gino frequents the gym and starts attending at the same time to creep. The track is raised, it overlooks the pool, and he's a frequent runner. It goes on like that for some time, some mutual creeping in the way you do when you're on campus with 20,000, or whatever, people, and you see a familiar face, but it would be weird to say hi, and so you just keep going about your day, occasionally creeping as one does. It all comes to a head, fortunately, one Friday night in late January. Sid gets knocked on his ass yet again at the campus pub one night when he finds out that G doesn't always dress like a Soviet grandpa or a mostly nude glistening Adonis. He's all legs, a mile long, in jeans, laughing with his Russian TA bros, gold chains and a bright graphic tee. He looks so at ease in his clothing, the way that Sid never does, because Sid is so solid, blocky, muscular. He always looks like he's 5 seconds from hulking out in his clothing, or like he's swimming in his dad's suit. There's no medium. The best he can usually manage is looking like he works in a sporting goods store with an unflattering polo shirt and some track pants. And here's Gino, all handsome and tall and easy confidence with his friends, and Sid knows he's brilliant too. Like, this is a disaster. Meanwhile, Gino is in love with how Sid always looks like he's going to bust out of whatever he's wearing, but this is just because Sid is still young and hasn't grown into his face and lost some childhood fat and, like, learned how sleek he can look in well-tailored clothing. Brief moment of silent thanks for his current tailor. G probably sees Sid at the bar as well, looking flushed pink from his drink and giggling atrociously / attractively with his friends. His lips are bright pink and the flush looks so good on those cheekbones, and someone's obviously convinced him to ditch the athleisure and dress like a normal guy for the night. And if Sid is old enough to get into the bar, that's not creepy, right? They're no longer teacher/student, and Sid looks so, so, so pretty. Gino might be a little drunk and narrating all of this to a very unimpressed Gonch. Gonch is a PhD student who is, like, taking 800 years to do his work because, like, he's also working a day job because he has a wife and kids. There are some glances back and forth for a bit, and eventually they can both tell the other is looking. Gino is just tipsy enough, he plucks up the courage to go over to Sid. And Sid, seeing him approaching, catching his eye, distances himself from his history nerd friends. We're looking at you, Jack Johnson! So they meet up in a little nook along the bar and exchange smiles and greetings. Sid looking up at him and feeling his flush getting deeper. And then the awkwardness sets in hard. The problem being, it's kind of loud in the bar, because they always are, and Sid has trouble with accents most of the time, and so does Gino, plus they've both had a few beers. They end up 100% not understanding anything the other is saying and doing that weird smile and nod but not knowing what to say thing that keeps your convo stilted and awkward with a few sorries thrown in for good measure. They're still both a little blushy and a little mortified about not understanding. Gino feels like he understood more the first day he came to America. He's like, how have I regressed to literally zero English? I don't remember any English words. Meanwhile, Sid has realized they can't really understand each other, and the beer has loosened his lips enough that he's taking advantage of the situation and blurting a lot of awkward stuff he's way too embarrassed to actually say. Unfortunately, there's one of those lulls in the bar where everyone stops talking and the music is between songs, and Sid just yells, I didn't realize you were hot at first! Cue a few cackles from the wings and Sid's instant mortification. Gino's face is doing something between fighting a smirk of amusement and being confused and concerned. Mostly, Gino realizes that this is going to spiral out of control very quickly and tucks Sid's elbow until they're stepping outside together in the freezing night, where their shouts will actually reach each other's ears. Basically, they end up in Danny's at 2 a.m. blushing at each other. Gino getting his flirt on, because once he feels like Sid's into him, he is all confident body language and jokes, getting into Sid's personal space with his impossibly long limbs. Sid relaxes into being kinda snarky and snide, but so quick-witted and kind, the side of him that Gino had only briefly glimpsed during their office hour conversations. And that's all it really takes, because they both are the type to go for what they want, and the interest is clearly mutual. And it turns out they already know a bit too much about each other's schedules, and they just make it work in the best ways. They quickly turn into that couple that makes all their friends roll their eyes, and Gino never stops chirping Sid for, I didn't think you were hot at first, both in front of other people and while Sid is trying desperately to wrestle G's jeans off. Oh, I'm hot enough now, Sid? Shut up, Gino, and lift up your hips! Of course, being the academic doorknobs they are, neither of them realize that this is an everlasting permanent kind of love. A legit college sweetheart kind of love. Until Sid meal preps Gino's entire week without asking whenever he knows that there's a big assignment coming up and he's never gonna get out of the lab. So he, like, keeps eating vegetables and not just Cheetos and potato-based dishes. Gino adopts all Sid's weird little rituals in his spaces because he respects that Sid has a system and is serious about his studies and has witnessed the meltdowns that can occur when too big a wrench gets thrown into Sid's day. He never bothers Sid while he's studying, but working out a system to ask unobtrusively if he wants a snack. Gino willingly gets pranked by Flower because there's hazing when it comes to roommates' significant others showering in their bathroom. Sid has an intimidating family dinner with the Gonchars he was in no way prepared for, but Gamley shows up with a bottle of wine and a button-down shirt that is still creased from the packaging. By the time Gino is cheering in the crowd at Sid's graduation, they're maybe getting an inkling what their future looks like, full of too many bookshelves, messy stacks of papers and notebooks, missed anniversaries for papers and research, but made up with good sex and takeout, lumpy knit sweaters over the backs of chairs, and ugly but charming antique furniture, full of each other. You can be my alphabet and I will be your calculator, and together we'll work out on the escalator. I will time you as you run up to down, and you'll measure my footsteps as I blush through this town. The mean of our heights is divided by the nights, which is timesed by the daggers and the root of all our fights. The pass of your poems is to sway me in your knowing, and the beauty of the word is that you don't have to show it. You've just finished listening to A Headcanon About Science TA Gino and History Student Sid by Small and Tall. If you enjoyed this headcanon, please reblog the post on Tumblr or leave some likes and replies on it. And if you enjoyed my production and performance of this story, please leave me some feedback. You can find me as MomoPods on AO3. Thank you to Small and Tall for giving me permission to podfic their headcanons. The song used for scene breaks is Academia by Sia.
This podfic was recorded in early 2019, originally intended as another submission for the Out of the Auditory Challenge, and edited in June for the Podfic Bingo Squares, Freeform, and Read Animatedly. And now for some Reader Free Talk. Hey! There's honestly not that much to say, so this will be short, and then you get to enjoy some outtakes. I'd originally intended to use this during the Out of the Auditory Challenge, like I just said, for which we were to record podfics of works that aren't traditional fics. I posted another headcanon recording for that challenge and a bunch of other things, but actually recorded two headcanons and just never got around to editing the other one. Which, in a way, is good, because I had one in reserve now for when I needed a quick project to edit this weekend. And the reason I let this lie for so long and didn't, you know, put it out earlier, even though I could have easily done it, is that I had got it in my head that I needed to produce more diverse fan works and couldn't just post hockey podfics every week. But the thing is that I've already made a rule for myself to post a podfic every week, if possible, and I haven't broken that streak since, like, January. So if I add more rules to it, it becomes more and more pressure, and my creativity and desire to do anything tanks as a result. So now I've reached a point in my head where I told myself, just fuck it, I record what I want and when I want it. So now there's going to be a lot more hockey podfic, probably. But at least I do the stuff. Like, it's not that I don't enjoy the other podfics that I made in the other fandoms, because I do. It's just that I felt obligated to, you know, alternate fandoms every week, so that I wouldn't get too boring for the people who follow me on AO3. But I'm just like, now at a point where I'm just like, I'm not, like, I don't owe anyone anything. I'm not obligated to cater to all my followers' needs. Like, they follow me or they don't, you know? So I get to record what I want, because it's my time that I'm spending on this. So I get to do what I like. Yeah. So anyway, that's like really all I wanted to say, because it's just sort of epiphany I had. For the actual podfic in question today, it was easy. Like, editing this was a quick job, which is a relief. The music and the cover came to me easily, and that's how I like it. And I'm pretty sure I'll fall back into the song finding despair for whatever project's coming next. But for this one, everything went smoothly and fell into place very easily, and I'm glad about that. Yeah, so just stay tuned for whatever project's coming next, I guess. So yeah, thanks for listening. As promised, there'll be a few outtakes to listen to in just a moment. And I'd love to hear your opinions on the recording or anything I said in a free talk. Just leave me a comment. Or if you know where else to find me on social media, you can talk to me there. Alright, bye! He has no burning need to know the world's innermost workings. And he thinks... Okay. It's mean to put words in here that I don't know. Stoichiometry. Okay. Stoichiometry. Unlike the confusing jumble of English he's put in... And Gino watches the door close, probably thinking someone who wears as much athleisure... Wow, athleisure. And Gino watches the door close, probably thinking someone who wears as much athleisure. And Gino watches the door close, probably thinking someone who wears as much athleisure wear and is a jacked... Oh, for fuck's sake! He looks so at ease in his clothing the way that Sid never does, because Sid is so salt. So salt? No.